Hey guys, Kirk Short here with Real Conversations with Kirk. Again, I'm Kirk Short, and I'm with the Wichita Home Team at Keller Williams Signature Partners. And today I've got Dave Thompson with me, and he's with Tom Beard Building Inspections. And we're going to sit there and have a conversation about home inspections, home inspectors, the what, the why, the how. So welcome.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me, Kirk. And look forward to talking to you.
Absolutely. So the reason why I asked Dave to sit there and be on this with me, we've known each other for probably upwards of 15 years.
Correct.
And we've been through a lot of inspections together, and just a little personal background for him, me, whatever you want to sit there and look at. When I go and I look out for a home inspector, I'm looking for somebody that knows what they're doing. And I've just learned over the years that Dave has kind of been that guy.
And I appreciate that.
The evolution and all that kind of stuff. And so I wanted him to take a moment and share with the people that are listening to us what the differences are with inspectors. Tell me about an inspector. First of all, what does an inspector do? Why does somebody need an inspector?
Well, it's even like I've done several thousand brand new homes, and I've never did a brand new home that didn't find something. One thing nice is Wichita's not known for having terrible builders, and I call it normally it's beer 30 Friday things, things they were supposed to do on Friday that
just got missed.
We're going to finish up Monday and never got done, or not done facetiously, I don't think. But there are some things that even on new homes, most of the stuff it's small, but I've had it from to where new homes had to get their roofs replaced, completely resided, to where a lot of times it's just some missing caulk.
Right. Know?
And so that's on a brand new home. And so when you get in an older home, unless you work on a home every day, all day, I'm going to find some stuff, or at least some maintenance is going to be recommended, or maybe some safety upgrades. And another thing people always ask me about is, well, doesn't that meet code? Well, actually, right now, last year homes that were built don't meet this year's electrical codes.
Right.
You know, so it just, but the only time you have to worry about that codes is if you're going to do some work and you have to pull a permit, the city might have you bring it up then to current code.
Right.
But a lot of things on homes I'll make note on for safety a lot of times is an upgrade. I'll call it an upgrade because if it wasn't required when it was built, like for GFCIs.
Yeah.
Kitchens and bathrooms, if they weren't been installed, because it's just, especially if little kids are around. One time I did a house for the this lady and her dad. It was the retired fire chief inspector, whatever he did there, worked at the fire department, and he had worked a deal just like what you see on TV where two little girls had grabbed a radio and electrocuted both of them,
mm-hmm.
versus a $12 GFCI would have saved their life.
Really?
So just, you know, that story always stuck with me. And you know, so whenever I do a lot of things, is people say, well, he should have muscled up and he could have opened that window or turned that valve. And a lot of times I envision, well, what if it's a kid trying to get out of this room? Or it's a, you know, your grandma's trying to open that valve.
Right.
I mean, yeah, sure, the guy might be able to muscle up and get it open, but you shouldn't have to. So there's just all different aspects on a home that...
that you look for.
That I look for from the top of the roof. And again, I don't guarantee that I'm going to find everything, but I can guarantee you I will try.
So let me ask you some things. You know, there's a lot of people that go and they're buying a house, or there's people that are thinking about getting an inspection that maybe just want an inspection for themselves. But primarily with me, you know, it's when they buy a house, right? Or when they're selling a house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people have thought about getting, you know, self-inspecting themselves. I think what might help people listening is, okay, what is an inspector and what qualifies you to inspect a house? You know, we've been in this business, and I know you've seen a lot of inspectors come and go.
Yeah.
You know, you run into some guys that, you know, we've ran into, and they're like, hey, I'm just going to be a home inspector. And, you know, I've always had that question. Well, what qualifies you to sit there and do that? Luckily, I've not had to worry about that with you because, again, we've known you long enough. You've been in the business long enough that we know what you do. But what qualifies a person to be a home inspector?
Well, that's actually one of the big things coming up right now is possible new legislation in Kansas that's going to show some requirements of what an inspector has to have done. But what I recommend is, no matter who you hire, is I recommend an ASHI. It's American Society of Home Inspectors, because our requirements to become a certified home inspector are much stricter than even the state's requirements or anybody else's requirements. And we have guidelines of things that we're required to check, and you can look on the website, and it'll show requirements, what you need to look at on the roof,
right,
throughout the house, the plumbing, ages. There's a whole list of what you have to do versus there are some guys out there who's got a flashlight and stuff, and they'll walk around and
look like they're doing something, but and don't have a clue.
They'll say it looks good, you know.
Yeah.
Give me $100, and there's no written report. There's, you know, you don't really know what they looked at. They said, well, it looks pretty good to me.
Right.
And versus if someone's ASHI certified, that means they, like right now, one thing I like about ASHI, it's a good thing because everything changes, is I'm required to have at least 20 hours of continuing education every year.
Okay.
And I go to schools, and since I've even been certified for quite a few years now, I still, you know, have had hundreds of hours of continuing education. I did have a construction background, and that helped.
Right.
But to actually do a home inspection, yeah, I mean, it helps to know what you're talking about in the beginning, but to properly inspect things, it makes a big difference. But
let me ask you this. So home inspectors go in and, you know, like you said, from top to bottom, so they're looking at the outside, the roofing, the siding, landscape grade. Is it flowing to the house? Is it flowing away from the house? Is there settling on the house? And you're generally, at least in today's society, because of computers and digital cameras and all that stuff, you're taking photographs and recording this and highlighting issues. You're not so much here to sit there and say, this is how you fix it. Your job is to go and find these issues as much as possible.
You're correct. Because most guys, unless we don't just tell you how to go, you know, this is the problem, this is how you should fix it.
Right.
I mean, we normally refer to most generally big things because even though a lot of us can either be licensed electricians, contractors and everything, but they discourage that in ASHI because that's what your job is, to find areas of concern that may need further repair or evaluation by the appropriate plumber, electrician,
roofer.
And now some small things, you know, I'm just like today, I was on a large house and I didn't have to refer to a plumber to tell him that faucet's bad and needs to be replaced.
Right.
You know, and it's, but, you know, things can get quite more extensive. But also in this large house, I found where there was big deck, probably 40-foot wide deck, big nice house, and it was back under the eaves of the house too, but they're getting water entry at the roof wall deck, and it was causing a stain inside the house.
Right.
And the only thing I can figure out is I made an assumption, and that was I think these people washed their deck off a lot with the hose.
Right.
And they were spraying it over in the wall, and I could see where it wasn't properly.
It was finding a way to sit there and get in.
And I could see where it wasn't properly flashed. So I recommended, this is the probable cause, though, but I recommend having a qualified contractor evaluate, reseal as needed. And repair, you know. Based on his findings.
So you brought up plumbing and that stuff. So When you get into houses, you're doing visual inspections of plumbing, turning faucets on to see if they work, if they leak, looking underneath at the drains to see if they're leaking after they've been running for a while, electrical, turning light switches on and off, making sure they seem like they operate properly, looking at breaker boxes and heating and air. Now, not all inspectors... When you go to this, now you've been trained of what to look for, like in breaker boxes, looking for double taps. And for those that are listening, a double tap is, what is a double tap? Why don't you tell me?
Well, it actually depends on what type of breaker panel, but it are most common panels. The problem is that it's where they put two wires under the hot screw. And if you can imagine when you twist wires together, they're like that.
Yep.
And if you put them on a screw, it only makes a contact on two spots.
Oh.
Versus like when you use a wire nut,
yeah,
it completely goes around it.
Okay.
So when you put a tighten two wires under a screw, more like it could be like this.
Yeah.
And you're not making, and it can become a loose contact point. And that's what you're always worried about on electricity.
Problem for sparking and fires.
Overheating.
That's gotcha.
It can cause that. That's the whole, and because really most double taps, if you just put it out there and put a wire tie over it, run it in, then I wouldn't say anything. Some guys call out the wire nuts and the panels, but I don't think it's going to hurt anything.
So knowing that you sit there and look at all these things, that doesn't mean that you're a licensed plumber, licensed electrician, licensed roofer. It means as an inspector, you have or should have. That's probably the better operative word because not all inspectors are created equally. You should have a working knowledge of these different components so that you can sit there and inspect a property properly and make what should be good recommendations versus somebody who may be uneducated and calling out issues that just aren't issues. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yeah. And, I was lucky, because I'm Dave Thompson, but my hat says Tom Beard Building Inspections.
Yeah.
And I get called Tom every day, all day. But, my first year I started, I worked with my father-in-law. Even though I had 30 years construction, he had a requirement to where I served as his apprentice, if you will.
Yeah.
And I worked together with him for the first year doing inspections. And so I had the blessings, and he was one of the original ones in town. He'd been doing it for 30 years.
It's like me and my dad in real estate.
And so I was able to go around and have a firsthand. Not only did I do ASHI schools and training, but I had a mentor, my father-in-law, who took me around and showed me the ropes. And that was a big help. Because like I said, even though I'd done construction for 30 years, done a lot of electrical, plumbing, construction, everything, it was... knowing what to look for is the big key.
Yeah.
So you're correct.
I'm really interested in talking a little bit more about this new legislation for inspectors. Again, being a realtor and being around this a long time, we've ran into a lot of people that have gotten into the inspection business. And, what's funny is home inspections can make and break a deal in a lot of cases. And it doesn't mean that the inspector did anything right or wrong. But sometimes if they do it wrong, it's a problem. Sometimes if they do it right, but how they work with clients and customers to explain what they're seeing has a big importance. For those that are listening and if you're in the Wichita market, the reason I use Dave is because he's got a way of explaining out properties. Properties are just going to have issues, right? It's not perfect because like we said, even a new house is not perfect, but we try to get it that way. But an existing house is going to have issues because it is effectively a used house. But having a good inspector that can come in and look and be able to talk with a consumer and bring it down to layman's terms and share, okay, this is what I see and this is why I think it's an issue, but it's not a big issue, hence the reason we sometimes have, I know in the summaries of the reports, it's a marginal item, Yet there's other times where it's like, hey, this really is kind of a concern, because it's a, you know, the big thing I always say that inspectors look for is they look for structural issues, safety issues. They're not really there per se to look for cosmetic issues in a contract, although some things are called out because they may be precursors to something, or, you know, highlight the potential that something could exist. But but being able to have somebody that can share that information in an educated manner is great. The new legislation that's out, if I understand correctly, and I'll let you explain, helps this process, if I'm not mistaken, because it's better educated people if it gets passed.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think it's actually passed yet, but there's a good chance it looks like it's going to.
Yeah.
And what that'll do is it'll set a baseline for, okay, to be a home inspector, you at least have to, I know one of the requirements is going to be you have to pass the National Home Inspector Exam, which is a four-hour exam, and it covers the whole nation. It's pretty tough. It's but you have to pass that, and you have to show financial responsibility, you know, certain requirements. You have to, you know, insurance, mm-hmm. And the different requirements you have to have, and which is good, because right now anybody can grab a flashlight and say, I'm a home inspector.
Right.
And but what you're talking about with the state doing that, we had it up a couple years ago, but the sunset clause, the governor didn't sign it into effect. But back then, I remember I was on a news story, but I was for it then, because I do stricter requirements than that now.
Yeah.
But then I know all these other guys who, in fact, it's kind of a joke on a lot of these other organizations these home inspectors have. It's 10 questions on the internet, and boom. They send you a certification card.
I'm a home inspector.
Yeah, because actually I learned a lot about the word certification then. We could start a website and certify people for, we certify you.
You're a Kirk Short certified home inspector.
That's right.
I think you need to publish that.
Yeah, and versus like ASHI, has the same the people that certify ASHI inspectors are the same organization that certifies engineers.
Really?
Yeah, it's...
So it's a lot different.
It's a professional certification, just online answer 10 questions, right. Send $20 in, and you're whatever home inspector. That's why I think it's important you use that.
Now, ASHI's not the only home inspection certification company though, right?
No,
there's some others.
Yeah, they've stepped up, and some of them actually I think have almost bonded with. So whatever, as long as it's a certified,
okay,
well-known, and I just can't think of what the ones that actually had the full certifications.
Right. So in other words,
there are some other organizations, yes.
So in other words, if you have questions about home inspection and whether or not the home inspector is good, if you're working with like a seasoned real estate professional, they're going to have a pretty good idea of the home inspectors that are well-educated and well-qualified, right?
Yeah, I would think so. That's one thing is I tell people a lot. I have to work with sale by owners.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they're saving all this money.
Yeah.
And then they get to ask me questions. I said, this is where I bow out, and normally a realtor steps in. And so having a good realtor makes a big difference on the deal too.
Thank you. The other thing that is probably good, I mean, you know, we do all this stuff via social media. I think social media is another good resource for sitting there finding the right people, because people have good experiences, they have bad experiences. So, you know, reviews, testimonials, people freely give that stuff online as well. So it's like if you have questions about, you know, for home inspectors and contractors and things like that, it's really interesting to put that out there to the people around you and say, hey, who do you recommend? And it's interesting who comes up, and then even to ask them why. You know, why do you recommend? I mean, I can tell you all day long why I recommend Dave over here. And, you know, consumers do the same thing. Some other things that I wrote down here that I really wanted to talk about, you know, I want to mention, okay, why a home inspector? Why a home inspection? There's two things. When you're buying a house, you want an independent inspector because it's a party that's not a family member or individual. It's like a doctor self-diagnosing themselves, even if they kind of know what they're talking about. Yeah, they may have an idea, but it's amazing when you're doing it for yourself, you overlook things or you overanalyze things that maybe you don't need to. And it's good to have that third party give that input. It's worth itself. I look at home inspections as being an insurance policy to future problems. No, you can't find everything. You're human like everybody else. There's things that are going to be missed, but there's more things that will be found than there are going to be that are missed. And I say that because I find that there's a lot of people that think that everything wrong with the house should be found, and that's just not the case. Agreed?
Yeah.
So, you know, get your home inspections, especially if you're buying. Now, I actually have people that I have them pre-inspect houses, right? Because knowing that home inspections and the subsequent repair requests that happen in a normal purchase contract can make and break a deal sometimes. And, you know, I like to encourage people to get a home inspection before they list. We can fix some problems, and for the other stuff, we can disclose it. Then a buyer can upfront decide what's there. Again, if I have a house that's already been pre-inspected, I'm still going to get a home inspection done on it just to make sure, for peace of mind, that there wasn't something else missed, but at least I'm going into a transaction eyes wide open.
Yeah, exactly right. Because one thing, like, I don't ever badmouth any other inspectors, because when I hear, you know, I hear these stories and I go somewhere, oh, I'm a home inspector. Oh, I'll eventually hear that, oh, my home inspector I had, you know, he missed this and this. Well, one thing is, we don't move things or do things. And I don't argue with them, but I don't say, well, you know, maybe it was, they had all their, that was behind a dresser or yeah. in a closet that was full of clothes. And so I'm not, I never try to argue the point with them, but yeah. I'm saying, but so I never know what the situation was like when they were there looking at it. But I think it's, I always go back to the fact that I wish I knew cars like I know homes.
Yeah.
And I wish there was like some certified car inspector. Like when I go through a house, and like last night I had this girl, she was a really, I call them nervous homebuyer. She was nervous about everything. And I know it's my job is to try to answer her questions and, you know, stress with her. Well, that's not really, it needs to be fixed, but there's something that needs to be fixed on every home. But anyway, just kind of a lot of hand holding. But in fact, that, you know, when I bring in the inspection, I go over it.
Yeah.
We were in there for 2 hours.
Talking
over it. I think that's good.
Yeah.
If anything, I think people should ask more questions at homes. Is my point going with the car, to get back to that, was, is I wish if I was buying a car, I could go in Iraq with this good mechanic and say, what is that? And is that, that looks like a leak to me. And is do I need to care about it? Well, it's kind of like something's on a home that's marked. Well, yeah, your shocks are getting kind of worn. Might wear your tires a little quicker, but it's a good idea to get them checked. But a lot different than the gasoline dripping down on the manifold that could start a fire. Now, that's, that needs to be fixed. I wish that, you know, that's what a home inspector's job is to do, is to help people figure out what the condition of the house is and make an educated decision on buying it.
Right. And especially, it's like you said, you know, you've done a lot of times with me, taking older houses. It's like, hey, you know, we may have a lot of stuff that came up in the inspection, but it's like this house is really good for its age. You know, it's at the top of its bar. Or, yeah, this house has got a lot of issues, but I don't see anything that's scary. But there's a lot that needs to be addressed, and I think that's a great aspect of it. I wanted to take just a couple quick little things here, you know, talking about like my experience with a home inspector, called Tales from the Trenches, right? And so you recently did an inspection for me, and so these are some things that come up that I think are kind of funny but make you think. I've got a house that you did, and the repair request came back asking about the fact that they found in rafters, they found some snake skin in a house that we know that the owner that's been there is the only owner, and that he doesn't have pets. He doesn't have snakes. So now the question is why is there snake skin in the house and is there a snake loose in the house, right? You know, so now I got a repair request to, hey, check into that further and figure out if we can figure out where it's from. But, you know, what are a couple, you know, funny things, if you will, that you found or, you know, questionable things that you found on inspection?
Oh, just, well, the most stupid I ever felt on a home inspection was and this kind of ages me, but you'd have to know what the Munsters, the Adams family.
Yeah.
This was a big old ranch house, 1800s, that had the little square parapet roof on top with the cast iron. It looked like the Munsters' house.
Yeah.
And I showed up there early. The people weren't going to show up till later. And I went up in the attic, and it's a big house, three-story house. Big Victorian.
Yeah.
And what was kind of weird was up in the attic, there was a big doll. This is the old attics. This one has the stairs. We actually go up to the door and you can walk
in. It's almost like living quarters in the attic.
Yeah, that's what they used to build them. They used to store a lot of stuff up in there. But they had a model home of this house there. But there was a Barbie doll, but had a perfect noose. It was hanging in there.
Oh, jeez.
And someone had hung a Barbie in there. And anyway, that's kind of creepy, you know. And okay. So I think that kind of put my mood. And then and when I went down, of course, when this house was built, there wasn't any inside heating and air.
Yeah.
And this was all a hand stone-laid foundation.
Yeah.
Of course, as we do, we check the furnaces out. And so I was running the furnace. So I had the furnace on. So I went down there. And it was in a small little stone room.
Yeah.
And I got done. I was looking at the furnace and... something touched my back.
Yeah.
I turned around, and there wasn't anything there. And so, okay. You know, and I'm thinking something, okay. I don't know. And so then, boy, did it again. I mean, I could physically feel my shirt move.
Yeah.
And what is going on here? And I thought, okay. I'm thinking I got a ghost here. And so finally, then I turned around one more time. And,
yeah.
Then I looked up, and because the furnace was running, I couldn't hear it. Somebody had mounted an oscillating fan.
Right. So it was running by you.
So every time I'd go by and blow my shirt, it felt like somebody touching my back. But I thought for sure a ghost had me. But that was my stupidest time I felt. Once I saw the fan, but
I like that. That's pretty good.
And then a lot of run-ins with critters and crawl spaces, skunks, raccoons, snakes. Yeah. Lots of snakes. And well, I will tell you about the snakes. Is there's not is just like the. Most people think, I think most people think crawl space and think, they're thinking black, icky, spidery cave.
Yeah.
They're not really that bad. But sometimes, worst ones are the old stone-laid foundations out in the country, because I always get gaps in those stones, and snakes just love it under there. And
so moist, cool.
So you got to be careful at farmhouses with stone foundations. You guarantee that there's going to be snakes in that crawl space.
It's just what kind of snake?
Well, luckily, I've never had any rattlesnakes. They've just been, you know, friendly snakes, water snakes, nothing bad.
That's good. I like that.
In fact, the only thing I've ever been animal-wise, my biggest one was we have a publication, a monthly publication, and I had just read about a home inspector in Texas who got bit by a rabid squirrel in the attic, and he was having to go through rabies treatments.
Yeah.
Had just read that like the month before, and I was doing this, because sometimes, especially with investors, it was an old farmhouse that looked bad, and he wanted to know if it was as bad as it looked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, one example, like there was a hole in the roof. It was just pretty rough.
Right.
And it was an old, probably old, early 1900s home, but I got up in that attic. And I don't know if you ever seen that movie. Was it Christmas Vacation where that squirrel goes flying?
Yep.
I started going. Luckily, I looked out the side of my eye, and here comes a squirrel come flying across the attic at me. And I took my flashlight and I knocked it away. And but you're walking on rafters, so I'm walking like Frankenstein, trying to head for the exit. Here comes that squirrel again. All I'm thinking about is, okay, I'm
here comes the rabid squirrel.
I'm going to be the next guy in the magazine going, and we got another inspector bitten by a rabid squirrel. So that's probably the worst little encounter with an animal.
Oh my God. Well, you know what? I've thoroughly enjoyed having you here. For those of you guys that are sitting here watching, remember to sit there and check us out on Facebook at the Wichita Home Team. We're also on Instagram. You can search for us on YouTube at Wichita Home Team. Kirk Short's Wichita Home Team, actually, on YouTube. But if you have questions or ideas, don't forget to look at Facebook and Instagram, because we're going to be posting when we have these interviews, and would love to sit there and answer questions for people that watch. I really appreciate you listening to our latest episode here of Real Conversations with Kirk, and look forward to talking to you next time. And again, sir, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Talk to you later.